Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Tesvav. We left off on daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. We're in the middle of discussing a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, or more precisely, we're discussing the Shita of Shmuel. The Gemara yesterday on daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, about 5 lines from the top, had the following case. A guy sells a field to his friend, and it turns out that although Reuven sold the field to Shimon, the field did not actually belong to Reuven. Reuven had stolen it. So Shimon then finds out that the field was stolen. So the question is, what can Shimon get back from Reuven when the Nigzal comes and gets his field back? What is Shimon entitled to from Reuven? What is he allowed to get back from him? So Rav had said, Yesh lama'os v'yesh l'shevach. But look, if Shimon bought this field innocently, not knowing that it was stolen, so he can get his money back for the field. And not only can he get his money back for the field, if he invested in the field, if he improved the field in any way, he should get that back as well. Shmuel says, no, you're only going to get your money back for the field, but you're not going to get the money invested in improving the field. Why won't you get the money invested in improving the field? Because then it looks terrible in terms of ribbis. Because what's it going to look like? This field never belonged to Reuven, so there was no field here. The field was never actually sold. It was all just a facade. That never really happened. So what happened was, Shimon gave money to Reuven. He thought he was getting a field, but it was really for nothing. He gave money to Reuven. Now, if Reuven's going to pay him back that money plus additional money, because of the money of the Shevach, it's going to look like ribbis. So that's why Shmuel said the person who unknowingly bought a field from a Gazlan is only going to get his money back, but he's not going to get the extra improvements that he put into the field. So we are up to Tashema, about 5-6 lines before the lines get wide. The Gemara is trying to bring Rayas one way or the other. So says the Gemara, Tashema, La'achilas peros ketzad. Harei shegazel sadeh mechavero, v'harei yotzei mitachas yado. If a guy steals a field from his friend, and then the field gets taken away from the gazlan, k'shu gove sakeren minuchas mishubadim, u'peros gove minuchas minechorin. Pashup Shad, it sounds like it's saying, when the gazlan, since he lost the field, when he goes and he collects, so he collects the keren from the nechasim mishubadim, and he collects the peros from even the nechasim b'nei charin, from the nechasim b'nei charin. So it says the Gemara, but that can't mean what it sounds like. Hey chidami, what's the case? Ilim k'diktani, if it's just as simple and straightforward as it sounds, that a gazlan stole a field, and then it gets taken away from him, and now he wants to go collect to get reimbursed, Gazlan miman gavi. What do you mean? You stole the field, you can get reimbursed. But when you lose the field, adarabba, you should lose the field. You stole it. Elolav. So it must be that we're missing a step in the case over here. That the case must include another step. The case is what? Kigon shegazal sada mechavero umachra liacher v'hishbicha. No, the case is the Gazlan stole a field. He didn't keep it. He sold it to somebody else. And that somebody else made improvements on the field. And what do you see? And you see very clearly over here that it's that somebody else who purchased the field who's going to be gova when the field gets taken away from him. And you see he's going to be gova both the money that he paid for the field as well as the shevach. He's going to be gova extras as well. So says the Gemara. So that seems to be a raya against Shmuel, because you see that the guy's going to be gover the Shevach as well. So it's a raya against Shmuel, who says that you cannot be gover the Shevach, you can only be gover the Keren, with the money you paid for the field. So the Gemara is going to have 3 suggestions of how to understand this brisa in a way that it does not necessarily contradict Shmuel. Suggestion number one, first the Gemara is going to give 2 suggestions, then it's going to work those 2 suggestions off each other, and then it's going to come on to a 3rd suggestion. So suggestion number one, Amar Rava, Hachave Mayaskinan, the case over here is, Kigon Shal Gazal Sada Mechavero Malaya Peros, you stole a field from your friend, and the field that you stole was full of fruits, Va'achal Asaperos, you ate those fruits that were on the field, then you proceeded to destroy the field. You started digging around and destroyed the field. But Nigzal Ligvos Keren. So now, if the Nigzal, the guy you stole it from, wants his field back, that he can collect from the Chasim Shabadim. But Nigzal Ligvos Peros, if the Nigzal, again, the guy you stole the field from, wants his Peros back, because there were Peros on that field, so then he collects from the Chasim B'nei Chorin. Why is this not against Shmuel? Because Shmuel wasn't talking about the Nigzal collecting. Shmuel was talking about the Lokeach collecting. He was talking about someone who bought the field from the Gazlan collecting, and that's where Shmuel limited and said that he's only allowed to collect the money he paid, but none of the extras. He's not allowed to collect the Shevach. But the Nigzal, who a field was stolen from him, and payrolls on the field was stolen from him, there's no doubt that the Nigzal is allowed to collect everything. He's allowed to collect, obviously, the payrolls and the karka. Aye, but wait a second. Why does it say that when he comes to collect the keren, he collects from the chasim ashubadim? What do you mean? The keren, if I have a field stolen from me, what's the keren? The keren is the field. So just take the field back. What do you mean you collect it from the chasim ashubadim? I go to other properties that the gazlan has sold since the time of the geneva and I collect from that? What are you talking about? Just take your field back. So says Rashi, that's exactly why the Gemara made the case that he destroyed the field. The gazlan stole the field, ate all the payrolls, and then dug around in the field to destroy it. So you stole a field from me that was worth $100,000. Now it's worth $50,000. So you can't just give me back that field. That's not enough. You destroyed the fields. That's why I'm going to go and I'm going to collect that from the Chasim Shubadim. Last line on Yudalar and Beis. Answer number two of how this Brisa, what do Kimta, we can make in this Brisa to not contradict the Shita of Shmuel. Rabba Barafuna Amar, Kigon Shanatlu Masikin. No, the case is that the Gazlan stole it, and then Masikin took it from him. Who are Masikin? Says Rashi, Anasim Akum. Non-Jewish people, bandits, or people who forcefully would take fields away from people. So Natlu Mina Gazlan, Umach Masod, they took it from the Gazlan, and they took it from the Gazlan because the Gazlan had it. Had it, meaning, we're not talking about a case over here where had the Gazlan not stolen it, they were going to confiscate this land anyway. They needed the Gazlan to pay them up, and they said, okay, show me your fields. And the Gazlan said, here, take this one. Right? So they clearly took it from the Gazlan because he was the Gazlan, because he was who he was, not, and it would not have been taken from the original owner. So now, Bud Nigzal Ligvos Keren, Gova Minachas Mishbadim. Again, we're not talking about a Lokeach coming and collecting. We're talking about a Nigzal coming and collecting. So if the Nigzal wants to collect the Keren, he couldn't collect from Nechas Mishbadim. Why can't he just take his field back? Because these Masi can have it now. He can't get it from them. So he can go to the Gazan and say, I want the value of my field and I'm going to collect it from Nechas Mishbadim. But Nigzal Ligvos Peros, Gova Minachas Minechorin. If he comes to collect the Peros, then that he collects from the Chasim Nechorin. That he can collect for that he collects only from the Chasim Nechorin. So that in that way we understand that that's not against Shmuel either, because again Shmuel only said who's limited in what he can collect. The Lokeach Mina Gazlan is limited in what he can collect. The Nigzal himself, whatever the Nigzal lost, he's allowed to go and collect. There's certainly no limitation. That's all we're saying. So it's not a stira to Shmuel at all. Shmuel was talking about cases where someone bought it from the Gazlan and he's the one that's trying to collect. This Brisa, Bein L'Rava Barav Huna, is talking about the Nigzal coming to collect and retrieve his stolen property. The only difference between Rava and Rabba Barav Huna is what happened to that field since the Gazlan stole it. Right? According to Rava, what happened to the field is the Gazlan ate all the payrolls off of it and destroyed it. According to Rabba Barav Huna, what happened was the Masikin took it. So says the Gemara, well, once they're so similar to each other, why don't they say like each other? Meaning, what about what Rava said bothered Rabba Barav Huna, and what about what Rabba Barav Huna said bothered Rava? Why do they have to carve their own unique shitos? Rava lomar k'Rabba Barav Huna, so says Gemara, Rava didn't want to say like Rabba Barav Huna, because look at the words of the Braisa. The Braisa says, Harei hi yotza mitachas yado, that the field goes out from the hands of the ganav. Sounds like Bedina Mashma. Sounds like it legitimately leaves the hands of the Ganav. Meaning, the Ganav is caught and he gives the field back. That's Yotza Mitachas Yad Ganav, which is how Rava understood it. That after he destroyed the field and ate the payrolls, he's caught and he has to give the field back. But according to Rabba Barav Huna, no, Masikin took it. So it was taken in an illegal way. That doesn't sound like the Lashon of Yotza Mitachas Yad. Yotza Mitachas Yad makes it sound like it was Bedin, makes it sound like it was legally taken away. V'Rabba Barav Huna lomar k'Rava. Why doesn't Rabba Barav Huna understand like Rava? Because harei he yotza mitachas yado. Don't focus on the yotza mitachas yado, on how it's taken. Focus on the word he. It is taken from the ganav. Ba'ina mashma, which sounds like it's ba'en, that it's taken as it was when it was stolen. So, I mean, the point is that if you're talking about a case where Masikin took it, so you're not talking about a case where the Gazlan destroyed the field. The Masikin are taking it as it was, and it's intact. And that fits better with the Lashon of Harei Hi Yotzei Mitachas Yado. As opposed to if you're going to have to touch it up, that the Gazlan destroyed the field, Harei Hi Yotzei Mitachas Yado, it's not Hi Yotzei Mitachas Yado, it's a whole different field, it's a destroyed field that's Yotzei Mitachas Yado. But either way, both Rava and Rav Baruch Huna can make this brisa fit with the Shita of Shmuel. Says Gemara, third possibility to make it fit with the Shita of Shmuel, Rav Ashi Amar Litzdadin Kadani. You have to understand it as follows. Kigon shegazel sada mechaveru malei peros. A guy steals a field from his friend and the field is full of peros. Va'achal es haperos. And he eats the peros. The gazlan himself eats the peros. Umachar es hasada. And he sells the field. So ba lokeach ligvos keren. Now, what is the lokeach definitely entitled to? He's definitely entitled to the money he paid for the field. Shmuel also admits to that, that he's for sure entitled to the money he paid for the field. So he wants to collect that. He's even allowed to collect that from Nechasim Mishabadim. But because why? The lokeach has had the field confiscated from him because he's discovered that it didn't belong to the guy who sold it to him. The guy who sold it to him was the gazlan. So lokeach wants to get reimbursed for the money he paid for that field. Fine, let him go collect from the Nechasim Mishabadim of the Gazlan. But Nigzal Ligvos Peros, but who's collecting the Peros? It's not the Lokech that's collecting the Peros, it's the Nigzal who's collecting the Peros, because he's the one who had Peros in the field, and the Gazlan ate those Peros before selling the field. So if the Nigzal comes to collect the Peros, Govim Nechasim Nechorin, then he'll collect from the Nechasim Nechorin. So essentially what all three Shitos do, I mean, why was this Brisa against Shmuel? Because the Brisa apparently spoke of a case of someone stealing a field, selling it to somebody else, and that's somebody else being able to collect not only the keren, but even peros. And Shmuel said, no, a lokeach min a gazlan is not allowed to collect peros. So that's why it seemed against Shmuel. What all three answers do is they all say that when the guy is collecting peros, it's not the lokeach who's collecting the peros. That we set up the case in such a way where it is the nigzal who's collecting the peros. The guy who the field was stolen from in the first place we're talking about is collecting the peros. And he's certainly entitled to peros that were stolen from his field. We're not talking about the lokeach at all. Now the last one just compromises a little bit and says, at least when we're talking about collecting the keren, that's talking about the lokeach. But that there's no debate about. Certainly a lokeach from a gazlan is allowed to collect the keren. It's the peros that are debatable. And on the peros, we're saying it's dafka the nigzal that's collecting the peros. Fine, so says the Gemara, backtracking a little bit. We had the first two answers. Bein l'Rava, bein l'Rava Barav Huna, milva alpehu. He says, wait a second. Both Rava and Rava Barav Huna explain that a gazlan stole a field, either destroyed it or had it confiscated from him, depending on which one you hold like. And then we're talking about the nigzal collecting from Nechasim Mishabadim. Now, what does it mean, collecting from Nechasim Mishabadim? It means on January 1st, Reuven steals a field from Shimon, and then February 1st, Shimon catches him and wants to get his money back. Reuven says, sorry, I don't have any money, but I owned fields on January 1st that I've since sold to Levi. On January 15th, I sold them to Levi. So we say, Shimon is allowed to go to Levi and take those fields away from Levi. So now, Frakta Gemara, wait a second. When do we allow someone to collect from Nechasim Mishabadim? Only if Levi could have reasonably done some research and found out that there was a lien on this property. When can you assume that he would find such a thing out? Only when there's a shtar out. When there's a shtar that says that the guy he's buying this field from owes money to somebody else, then he'll find out that there must be a lien on this property. But if there's no shtar, he'll never find out. So what happened over here? Reuven stole the field. So is there any shtar out on the field? There's a shtar that says Reuven stole the field and therefore, there's a lien on all of his properties? There's certainly no shtar. You say you steal, you don't write a shtar when you steal something. I hereby am stealing this field, I have to wait. You don't do such a thing. So how could Levi ever protect himself? How would we allow Shimon to collect from Nechasim Mishabadim to take away fields that Levi has bought from the Ganav? That's not fair. Levi would never be able to protect himself. So, Frekta Gemara, Bein l'Rava, Bein l'Rava Arafuna, Milva Alpehu. It's a Milva Alpeh. There's no shtar over here. Everything is done orally. A Milva Alpeh in the government Nechasim Mishabadim. You can't collect from Nechasim Mishabadim and a Milva Alpeh. So, answers Gemara, Achamai Eskinan, Kisha Amad Bedin, Vahadazav. Now, the case over here is first they had a Din Torah where we determined in a Beis Din that Reuven stole this field and he has to return it. And then Reuven sold the field. So in that case, certainly the lokeach has the ability to find out that this field is that there are liens on Reuven's property, because once you have a hamada bedin, it's just as good as having a shtar, right? Why is it just as good as having a shtar? So Rashi says what you would expect him to say. Rashi says kodem shmachar chasav ekiven dechivuhu beizdin islay kala. Because when Beis Din makes a psak that Reuven stole the field and therefore he owes the money to Shimon, that creates enough of a tumult that anyone who wants to do research into a business deal with Reuven will find out that Reuven lost this Din Torah and therefore there's a lien on his properties. Others say that no, that it's even more than that. It's that when you have Ahmad Abedin, by definition, they write a shtar when you have Ahmad Abedin. Right? Tulsa says when you have Ahmad Abedin, by definition, that's what the Beis Din would do. The Beis Din would write a shtar that says that Reuven owes the money. Oh, so if they're writing a shtar, then you certainly understand. I think that's how the Rashba says that when you write a shtar, so then you would certainly understand that that it has a din of not a milva peh but a milva bishtar. But frek the Gemara, wait a second. If there was already hamad bedin, then ihachi peros nami, then shouldn't you be able to collect the peros also from nechasim mishubadim? Because again, Beis Din determined that he owes all that money, including the peros. So you should be able to collect that from nechasim mishubadim as well. So answers the Gemara, no, kshamad bedin al keren, vlamad bedin al peros. They had hamad bedin regarding the keren, they didn't have hamad bedin regarding the peros. But enochanami, had they had hamad bedin regarding the peros as well, then you'd be able to collect the peros from nechasim mishubadim also. Meaning, there's no real fundamental difference between collecting the peros and collecting the keren. Either way, if there was a amad bedin, you can collect it from nechasim mishubadim. If there was no amad bedin, you can only collect it from nechasim nechorin. So, frekting mara, wait. If there's no fundamental difference between the two, umay paska, then why does the brisa automatically assume that the keren already had a amad bedin and the peros didn't? Meaning, halachically, peros and keren are the same. If they had amad bedin, you collect from nechasim mishubadim. Without it, you don't collect from nechasim mishubadim. Why would the Gemara automatically assume that the keren already had amad bedin and the peros didn't? May I say that that's the case? So it says Gemara, stam demilsa kitave inish karna tave bereisha. That means normally when you're going to go after something in court, first you're going to go after the keren. First you're going to have a din Torah regarding the keren, and only later about the peros. So it's very likely that if there was amad bedin, that it was only on the keren and was not on the peros. So says the Gemara, wait a second, we're analyzing the sheet of Shmuel, that someone who's a lokeach min a gazlan, someone who buys something from a gazlan and makes improvements on the field, does not get reimbursed for his improvements. Says the Gemara, really? V'savar Shmuel lokeach min gazlan, let's say Shivchot, the Shmuel really holds someone who buys something from a gazlan does not get shevach, he doesn't get reimbursed for the improvements he makes in the field. V'hamar le Shmuel Rav Chinna bar Shilas, but Shmuel told the famous sofer, Rashi says he was a sofer, Rav Chinna bar Shilas, and he instructed him as follows. Im l'chuksov, shufrav shivcho piri. I want you to always make sure when you write a shtar that you should verify with the person who's selling the field if he's mekabel upon himself that lokeach, if the lokeach gets the field confiscated from him, that the mocher is going to reimburse him with the best of his field, and he's going to reimburse him for whatever improvements the lokeach made in the field, and he's going to reimburse him for the peros that the lokeach ate from the field. I want you to make sure that you know that you should write that in the shtar, that you have to make sure that you ask the mocher if he wants all that in the shtar. So b'may, what's the case? Iba balchov miyisle piri. Now, if the case is not a case of a mocha, it's not a case of a guy selling a field and then having one of his balei chov, somebody owes money to, taking the field away from the lokeach. If it were a case of somebody owes money to taking the field away from the lokeach, then the lokeach would not be entitled to peros. Because the lokeach would never lose the peros. The balchov is not entitled to collect the peros. The balchov would only be allowed to confiscate from the lokeach the field and the shevach, but no way the peros. So that can't be the case we're talking about. It must be that we're talking about a case of a lokeach migazlan, that Reuven stole a field from somebody, then he sold it to somebody else. So the nigzal who had the field stolen is going to confiscate everything from the lokeach. Now the lokeach is going to come back to Reuven and say, hey, I want everything. I want the field, I want the shevach, I want the peros. Right? So that's the case that he's dealing with. And don't you see over here that the lokeach, according to Shmuel, can ask for the shevach. He's entitled. He's allowed to collect the shevach. We're not worried that it looks like ribbis. So answers Gemara. I'm Rav Yosef. I'm asking kon sheyesh lo karka. Now the case over here is that he has karka and therefore it doesn't look so much like ribbis. Meaning he's going to reimburse him with karka, so it doesn't look so much like ribbis because it's not cash. Really? Karka just cancels out all ribbis laws? I mean, normally there's a halacha about ribbis, that I'm not allowed to take a saw from, borrow a saw of produce from you and give you back a saw of produce, because the price may have changed in that saw of produce. Right? There's a serious shiloh we'll discuss later in the Masechta. If I borrow sugar from my neighbor, right, because I ran out of sugar, so can I give him back sugar 2 weeks later? Same amount of sugar. I took a box of sugar. I'm giving back another box of sugar. Isn't that ribbis? Maybe the prices of sugar went up. You can check the newspapers. Price of sugar go up, go down. Isn't that an issue of ribbis? But that's not our issue for right now. But the point is, it doesn't make it okay just because you have karka. So it says Gemara Amalei Hasam Alva Hachazvini. It doesn't make it okay on a loan when I lend you something. But when something is really sold, meaning like in our case, Reuven stole a field and then he sold it to somebody. So we're saying it looks like ribbis because the field that he sold didn't belong to him. So we pretend as if the field wasn't here and it was just money that he was getting and money that he's giving back. But in reality, he was selling a field. So since it was really a sale, it's not a real ribbis problem, it's a looks like ribbis problem. So on a looks like ribbis problem, the karka is going to help. On a real ribbis problem, having karka won't help. Ikadamri ought to say a different approach. Amar Rav Yosef Akumaskin Kanchakana Miyado. Maybe initially, right away, he was Kona, he made a kinyan in such a way on the Shevach that he's going to be responsible for the Shevach. So since he did that at the time of the sale, so it doesn't look like ribbis at all. Because before the guy ever gave him money, he already was Makabal on himself, the Shevach. So he's obviously not paying him the Shevach for the time value of the money, because he already was Makabal upon himself the Shevach before there was any time value of that money. So again, can you just do Kanam Yado and get around all ribbis problems? And says Gemara again the same thing. Over here it's not a real ribbis problem, it's a sale, it just looks like ribbis, and therefore we allow that, the idea of Kanam Yado, to get around that issue. Gufa. Amar Shmuel, Balchov goves HaShevach, Balchov can collect the Shevach. Amar Rava, Teida, Shekach Kosiv Loma, meaning, what does it mean, Balchov goves HaShevach? If I sell a field to somebody, and I had owed money, I had previously owed money to somebody else, that person that I owed money to can go and not only take the field, he can take the improvements in the field that were made by the Lokeach. He can take that from the Lokeach. The Lokeach will obviously come back to me and ask for that Shevach back. But certainly the Balchov is allowed to take it. Amar Rava Teda, Rava says, I'll prove it to you. Shekach Kosiv Lo Mocher Lokeach. Look at any shtar. The Mocher always writes to Lokeach. Ano Ekim Va'ashri Va'atki Va'amrik Zvini Ilin Inun Va'amalayon V'shiv Cheon Ve'ekim Kan Mach V'tzavi Zavina Danan V'kabli Ilawi. Meaning, what does he say? I'm going to make sure that you'll be okay, that you'll be secure, that everything will be good, that you'll get everything back, including the Shevach. What do you mean you'll get everything back, including the Shevach? If the Balchov is not allowed to take away the Shevach, what am I promising you, that you'll get back your Shevach? No, the point is, the Balchov is allowed to take the Shevach. Amli Rebchi Bar Avin L'Rava El Me'ata Matana D'Lo K'siv Le'Hachi Hachinem D'Lo Tarv Shivcha. When I give a Matana to somebody, is my Balchov not allowed to take the Shevach from the guy I gave him Matana to? Because I don't write that in the Shtar Matana. You don't write that you're guaranteeing the Shevach in the Shtar Matana. Amli In. Gemara says, yeah, in a chinami. When you give a Matana to somebody, you cannot collect, the Balchov is not allowed to collect the Shevach. Says Gemara, what? V'chi Yafa Koch Matana Mimecher? A guy who receives a Matana is in a better position than a guy who purchases a field. When I purchase the field, the Balchov can come and confiscate the Shevach, the improvements I make to the field. When I receive a Matana, the Balchov is not allowed to confiscate the improvements I've made in the field. Why is that fair? I'm like, in yafi yafa. Says Umar, yes it is. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's set up. That in the shtar of the Balchov, that's of the Mecher, it's written about the Shevach. And in the shtar of the Matan, it's not written. Amar Rav Nachman, Hamas Nisim Sayyidah the Mar Shmuel. Vahuna Chavrin Mukum Lavamili Achrini. We have a Braisa that supports Shmuel, but Rav Huna understands the Braisa differently in a way that it won't support Shmuel. The Tanya, we have a Braisa, Hamochas Adil Chavir Varehi Yotsumitachas If a person sells a field to his friend and the field gets taken away, so when he wants to collect the keren, he collects it from nechasim mishvad. When he wants to collect the shevach, he collects it from nechasim b'nei chorin. And so that sounds like just stomach case where you're not stealing from a gazlan. It's just it's a balchov coming to be gova, and the balchov is allowed to be gova the shevach from the lokeach. That's part of what Shmuel said. A balchov is allowed to do. V'hun chavrin mukum lo b'mili achrini b'lokeach migazlan. And Rav Huna said no. That case is talking about where the lokeach purchased the field not from someone who had a balchov, but he purchased the field from a gazlan, and that's the case where he loses the shevach, and that's against Shmuel, because then you see that he's allowed to go back, the lokech min a gazlan is allowed to go collect the shevach, and Shmuel said the lokech min a gazlan is not allowed to collect the shevach, because it looks like ribbis. Tanya Yidoch, we have another braisa. Mocher sadel chaver v'shbicha, a person sells the field to his friend, and he makes improvements on the field. Uba balchov v'tar, for the balchov comes and takes it away. Kishahu gove, when the lokeach goes and collects, im ha-shevach yosel yitziah, if the improvements that were made on the field are more valuable than the expense to make those improvements, no telos ha-shevach mi-bal ha-karka, he goes back to the mocher to collect his shevach, and the expenses for the shevach he collects from the original owner of the field, from the balchov, not from the balchov who's owed the money. Why? Because the balchov was owed X amount of money, right? And he went and he confiscated a field that was worth that had extra value added on to it by this lokeach. So he should at least have to pay for the cost of adding that extra value onto the field. But if the cost in adding the extra value is greater than the shevach, then all the lokeach is able to do is collect the extra value that was added to the field, meaning he's collecting his expenses, but not all of his expenses, only the amount of his expenses that equals up to the value that was added from to the field from the balchov. So says the Gemara, Vashmuel b'may mokum la, ib lokech migazlan kar shoresha, damar shmuel lokech migazlan lasei shivcha. Wait a second, this price that we just quoted, who's lokech? Lokech bought from who? If he bought it from a gazlan, so that doesn't make sense, because according to Shmuel, a lokech from a gazlan doesn't get any shevach. And over here we're talking about a guy going and collecting shevach. Ib balchov, it's talking about a balchov, kar shoresha v'seifa. Then it's a problem why the Balchov has to reimburse for anything. According to Shmuel, the Balchov is allowed to take the Shevach and he gets to keep the Shevach. Why should he have to reimburse anything to anybody? So says Gemara, either you could say it's talking about the case of Lokech Migazlan. Aye, but I thought Lokech Migazlan is not allowed to collect for his Shevach. We said there were two exceptions to that rule. If there was karka involved, or if they did a kinyan originally, so then you get around the ribbis problem, and therefore you're allowed to, the lokeach is allowed to collect the shevach. So that way Shmuel can make the brisa fit even according to him. Or Shmuel could say that the brisa is even talking about a case of a balchov. Aye, we said that if it's talking about a case of a balchov, why should the balchov have to reimburse for the shevach taken away? I thought the balchov is allowed to collect the shevach anyway. V'lo kasha. It depends what kind of shevach you're talking about. Kan b'shevach ha-megil k'safim, kan b'shevach she'en ha-megil k'safim. When you're talking about shevach ha-megil k'safim, which Rashi says, shevach of the field that's ready to be harvested from the field, it's all there. It's just that it's still attached to the ground. It still needs the karka a little bit. So that's like full peros, and the balchov is not allowed to collect that. But other shevach that's just starting to grow, improvements in the field, the guy planted and it's just starting to grow, that the balchov is allowed to collect and will not have to pay back to anybody. That's the chilek between the two. Frak the Gemara, but wait a second, ma'isim b'chol yom v'kamagvi Shmuel, afilu b'shevach ha-megil k'safim, but it's ma'isim b'chol yom, Shmuel does allow the balchov to collect all shevach, even shevach, that's very similar to peros. Even shevach, that's magil k'safim, that's already ready, almost ready to be picked, and that's already far advanced, and it's very similar to peros. Even such shevach, Shmuel allows a balchov to collect. So how can you tell me that Shmuel will say this brisa is talking about a balchov, and the balchov was not allowed to collect the shevach because it was shevach that's magil k'safim? We know Shmuel always allowed a balchov to collect shevach and magil k'safim. Lo kasha, had mask be kshir ara v'shivcha, had dula mask be el kshir ara. It depends how much the balchov was owed. If the balchov was owed the money of the land plus the value of the shevach, so then he's allowed to collect everything, including the value of the shevach. But if he was only owed the value of the land, he wasn't owed the value of the shevach, then he's not going to be able to collect the shevach. He wasn't owed that much money. If you owe me $100, I can't go to your $200 field and take that and expect to be able to keep the whole thing. So the yavle shivcha umesalikle. So you give him the shevach, and that way you're mesalik the guy. So says Mar Hanich leman yamriyisle zuzi lokeach lo matzi masikle lebalchov shapir. This makes a lot of sense if you hold like the shita that holds that if the lokeach has any money, still the lokeach is not allowed to tell the balchov take cash instead of the land. Balchov is allowed to say I want the land. But if you hold that if the lokeach has money, he's able to pay the balchov the cash and say, I'm keeping the land, which I invested so much time and energy and money into, so namely, why can't the lokeach say to the balchov, had I had cash, the $100 that you owed, I'd be able to give you $100 and tell you to stay away from this land. Now that I don't have money, at least let me keep a piece of land that equals the amount of the shevach that I put into this land. Meaning, don't take back the whole thing. Just take back everything minus the shevach. So says Mar Hachem Eskim Gon Shasar Apatiki. No, in this case, the field was made into an apatiki, and that's why he's going to be able to collect the shevach from this field itself. Okay, Gemara gets a little bit easier from here. Hikar b'sheinu shelo v'lacha. Let's say I realize that this was stolen. This was a stolen field, and I bought it from you anyway. Right? Sometimes you know you're buying stolen goods. You got a guy selling off the back of a truck. You can't sell fields off the back of a truck, but you got the idea. It's too cheap. Whatever. I know that it's stolen. I could take one look at you, and I know that it's stolen. So I know I'm buying stolen goods, right? Amar Rav Moos Yeshlo Shevach Einlo. Says Rav, the guy is still lokech, still allowed to get reimbursed for his money, but he's not going to get shevach. Ushmol Amar Filu Moos Einlo. Shmuel said no. He knew he was buying stolen goods. He can't even get his money back. So b'maykum eflis. So what's the machlokas about? Rav Savar Adam Yodesh Karka in Lov Gamar of Nasal Shem Kadon. Rav says the guy knows that this land doesn't belong to him. So what am I paying for? If I know that I'm not really allowed to buy this land because it's stolen, what am I giving money for? I'm obviously giving it to this Ganav as a Pikadon. Let him watch my money for me. V'neim Leil Shem Pikadon. Well, really, if that's what I'm giving it to him, why don't I tell him I'm not giving this to you as a purchase of the land, I'm just giving it to you as a Pikadon. So Savar Lo Makabel, because I think he's not going to want to take the Pikadon to watch it for me, so I do it under the guise of me buying this stolen property. Shmuel says, no, you know that you're not allowed to buy this field, so what are you giving the money for? You're giving the money as a matana to this ganav. So why don't you just tell him I'm giving it to you as a matana? I don't want to embarrass him that I have to give him money as a matana. Meaning, I know he's a friend of mine. He's desperate. He was so desperate that he stole this land. So I want to give him money. So I give him money and I tell him, yeah, I'm paying for the land. But really, I'm just giving him money. And that's why I'm not entitled to take that money back afterwards. But didn't Rav and Shmuel already have this machlokas? So what if a guy gives kesef kiddushin to his own sister? Harei makadeshesli to his own sister. So he knows that there's no kiddushin. Rav amar ma'uschos, and Rav says the money goes back. Shmuel amar ma'us matana. Shmuel says the girl gets to keep the money. Obviously, there's no kiddushin. So what's the svara? What are they arguing about? Rav amar ma'uschos, adam yodeshin kiddushin tov simachoso. Rav says the money goes back because a person knows full well that there's no kiddushin by his sister. V'gamar nasal l'shem pikadon. So obviously, he gave it as a pikadon. I v'neim lo l'shem pikadon. If he wanted to give it as a pikadon, why didn't he just tell his sister this is a pikadon? Savar lo makav l'minei. He thought that the sister would never take it from him. Shmuel amar mo'os matana. Shmuel says the money is matana. Adam yodea she'ein kiddushin tovsin b'chalso, because the person knows full well that there's no kiddushin for a sister. V'gamar v'nasa l'shem matana, and therefore he obviously gave it to her as a matana. I have a name of l'shem matana. Why doesn't he just tell her it's l'shem matana? K'sifu l'milsa, because again it's embarrassing for her, so he doesn't want to tell her it's l'shem matana. But that's obviously what he meant. So frek the gemara, why do you need to tell me the same machlok as Rav and Shmuel twice, both in a case where I buy a field from a gazlan and in a case where I'm a kaddish my sister? Why didn't you tell me the same machlokas about what the money is really being given for? Says Mar Tzricha, I would say, had Rav only told me this halacha in the case of the gazan, I would say, yeah, because who gives a matana normally to a stranger? Avol gabei achosa, meaning to someone who's not related. Avol gabei achosa, but by my sister, I'm a moder to Shmuel. Maybe Rav would be moder to Shmuel that really, obviously, you intend to give it as a matana. After all, she's your sister, so you're more likely to give her a matana. V'yitmar b'hach, b'hach kamar Shmuel av b'hem a moder to Rav. And had it only told me the case of the sister, I would say, yeah, that's where Shmuel says that it's a matana. But in the case of the other guy, then wouldn't it be a matana. So tzricha, that's why it needs to be stated. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel needs to be stated in both cases. Rashash points out, you also could have made another tzrichasa. Where is it more likely that I'm going to give a pikadon? to my sister or to a ganav? Meaning, I'm going to give a pikadon to a ganav. The guy I know is a ganav. I'm going to trust him to watch my money. So you could have made the tzrichasa that way. That I'm much more likely to give a pikadon to my sister than I am to a ganav. And maybe that's the tzrichasa. So one just last line. Either way, whatever my intention is in giving this money to this ganav, I clearly know I'm not buying this land. Well, then how come I took the land, and how come I ate peros from the land? If I knew I wasn't buying this land, how do I justify in my own head that this money is really pikadon matan? Then I go and I eat the land, I take the land. Says Gemara, Savar, ana ichasara v'yavid ve'echel begavei, ki echi davaka avid ihu. I'll go and I'll take this land the same way this guy would have done, meaning, what difference does it make if I'm eating from the land, the ganav is eating from the land? Either way, if he was going to eat from it anyway, so I might as well take it. And when the guy wants to collect the money, I don't have the money anymore, let him collect it from the ganav who I've given the money to as a pikadon or as a matana, and that's fine. But either way, there's no reason why I should be any less able to eat from this land, then the ganav should be able to eat from this land. And in that way, he justifies it to himself. Okay, sorry it had to be such a short shear.